you shudder at the thought of the word cloud that could be formed by such name-calling? Can you imagine putting that on our bulletin cover? Can you imagine writing racial slurs or demeaning comments that reduce women to body parts, or outright lies, or death threats, or threats of imprisonment on the front of the document that outlines our worship? Now, what I haven't told you is that these insults did not come from the general population. No, I gleaned them from the Facebook posts of people of faith. For the most part, these are people I know. Specifically, the hurlers of these insults are people who have committed to following Jesus, which just goes to show how hard it has become in this election season not to resort to name-calling that destroys the dignity of other human beings. Of course, name-calling is nothing new. People in the ancient Near East took it quite seriously, actually naming people according to tradition. return to his land and his people. Once more, Jacob schemes Laban and makes off with the farm, livestock, and family. But on the way home, he becomes legitimately afraid. He believes that Esau will kill him along with his entire family. The night before Jacob and Esau are to meet, Jacob sends his entire family across the stream, and he is left alone, completely vulnerable. Solo traveling is ill-advised and dangerous. Alone is not what one wants to be while on the road in the ancient Near East. But Jacob is alone, alone with his thoughts, alone with his lifetime of less than upright actions, alone, except not alone. Text tells us that Jacob wrestles with a mysterious being until daybreak. Some translations say Jacob wrestles with a man, others say a spirit, yet others an angel. Like Jacob, if we have to ask the name of this shadowy figure, we aren't paying attention. To read the text is to get a sense of the wrestling, the grueling battle of it all. It's worth noting that the struggling causes Jacob to stay. God face to face.